Amen. Psalm 86 this evening, and we will be looking at the entire chapter, 17 verses, the entire psalm, I meant to say. Psalms are not chapters, they're different songs. Psalm 86, and as we turn there this evening, by way of introduction, do you want to know God's way? A lot of people ask about God's way, and what do we know about his way, and how can we learn his way, and how can we do many various things that are his way? Many ask that question. Some people do that. How do I know God's will? Do I know his way? Well, tonight, we will look at a prayer of David as he asks this question, or asks this request, really, to teach him God's way. Let's come to verse 11. Psalm 86, verse 11, as we open the Bible, let us know that we're opening up the mind of God. So let's see what he has for us here in verse 11. Psalm 86, verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear my name. I submit to you this evening as we look into this psalm, God's way is to walk in truth and to unite our hearts to honor his name. And that's what we're going to see here in the psalm as we look at two aspects of it, the idea of forgiveness and the idea of learning his way. Father, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for the day you've given to us. We thank you for the opportunity we have to be here together. I pray that as we look into your word, that you would help us just to set aside anything that might distract us, that we'd be able to focus in on your word here for these next few moments. Be with me as I preach. Help it to be clear. Help it to be easy to be understood. And help us just to be able to understand and be encouraged this evening. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So first of all, in order to understand his way, to teach us God's way, first we need to have forgiveness. And that's what we see in the first 10 verses, the need for forgiveness. Verse 1, Psalm 86, verse 1 says this, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Let's look at a couple of things here. This whole psalm here is a prayer of David to God. And I want you to notice that first phrase, bow down thy ear. Have you ever sometimes wondered why we bow down sometimes when we pray? Maybe the indication comes from this passage here. Now there's other places in which that would give us reason for that. But I mean, it's just a nice little thought. He's bowing down his ear. It's a prayer. We can already tell it's a prayer because of that. Oh Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Says, hey, I need you, Lord. I know I need you. We need God every day. No matter what the circumstances, we can have God, we can use God, we need God. Honestly, we're nothing without God. Without me, one of the verses in the Bible says, you can do nothing. Verse number 2 says, preserve my soul. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou, my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. What's it saying there? Shows that we need to be preserved because we're just, he's just, and because he trusts in him. He wants God, David wants God to preserve him, to keep him going, to keep him alive. For I am holy, I've been pure, I've been right. O thou my God, save my servant that trusteth in thee. He says, hey, help me out. Help me through all this. Verse 3, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Now, that's a good principle to know. He wants us to be merciful, to be gracious, to have pity, because he prays daily. The Bible tells us to pray daily. How often should we pray? Well, Psalm 55, 17, another psalm that David writes, says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he will hear my voice. We ought to pray daily for God and for his and to talk to him. I mean, not to go into this aspect here, but for those who are married in here today, this evening, what would happen if you didn't talk to your wife for the whole day or your husband for the whole day? Ding, your relationship is going to grow. No, it's probably going to have some issues. It's going to have some difficulties. Why? Because there's not that communication. We have a relationship with God as believers, and we ought to communicate with Him daily. Now, thankfully, we don't have to worry about paying no cell phone bill to do that, or paying internet service and getting Wi-Fi to do that. We have a straight access to God, immediate. And He says in verse 3, at the end there again, "For I cry unto thee daily." God, David is asking God. He prays to Him daily. Verse 4, "Rejoice the soul of my servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." We can rejoice. For what? Because He's lifted up our soul, because God is good. He's ready to forgive, and He will give mercy to those who call upon Him. Verse 5, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive." You know God's ready to forgive. He wants to forgive us. What's the New Testament passage? "He is faithful and just to those who forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." God wants to have that right relationship. He wants to have that blessed time with you and me. He doesn't want anything to divide us or to separate us out. He wants harmony. Just like in a marriage relationship, you want harmony between you and your spouse. In your family relationships, there should be harmony. Now, do you know how to irritate your siblings? Yeah, you probably did. And they knew how to irritate you. But you don't want friction and discord there either. You want it to be harmonious. And notice how verse 5 says, "He's ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Him." You know, God is ready to forgive as much as He can, as much as He's able to. And notice the condition: to those that call upon thee. All you got to do is come to Him, and that's it. Verse 6, "Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend unto the voice of my supplication." David has a request here, and here's his requests. He wants God to listen, to give ear, and to hear his prayer, and to listen to the request that he's about to ask. And whether his request, 7, "In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me." Now, some people will take that phrase in verse number 7, and they'll only call on God when they are in trouble. I tell you, folks, you don't want to do that. Don't wait until you're in trouble to call upon God. Call upon Him all the time. But know and be comforted in the fact that in verse 7, "In the day of my trouble will I call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me." When I do come to God when I am in trouble, He's not going to shut you out. He's not going to hang up on you. He's going to listen. And why is that? Verse 8, "Among the gods," among the idols, okay, "there is none like unto thee." Basically, David here is just comparing the fact, hey, amongst all these other religions and worship and ideologies, you are the only God who actually hears and listens. I mean, if you think about it, I think of a perfect illustration in 1 Kings chapter 18. And what happens there in 1 Kings chapter 18? Elijah goes and he talks to the people and says, "What haul you? How long haul you between two opinions? If Baal be God, follow him. If the Lord be God, follow him." And the people answered him not a word. And so then Elisha says, "Okay, let's build up an altar. Build up two, one for your God, one for my God. And whosoever God answers by fire, he is the God." And so the people of Baal built their altar, and from the morning till the noon, they start chanting four words, "Oh, Baal, hear us," and they're chanting around, trying to get Baal to hear them and follow them. And then Elijah goes and mocks them. He's like, "Hey, you know, you should go louder, maybe, because he's a god, right? He should be listening to you, right? Maybe he's on a journey, or maybe he sleepeth, or maybe he's doing something else." And so you know what they do. They go louder. And then they start cutting themselves, and blood's gushing out, just what you want to hear right before, right after you had dinner. And all this is going on. They go from the morning till the time of the evening sacrifice. And then the scripture says, but there is none that answered, neither any that regarded. And then Elijah repairs the altar, because I mean, it's been probably 12 hours, and repairs it up, puts water on it. You're thinking, wait, God's supposed to answer by fire. He's putting water. Fire can't go through water. Well, in this case, it did. You know the story. He calls upon God. God answers, burns everything up, and they tremble in the fact that God is who he is. And what's he saying here in verse number 8 of Psalm 86? Among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. I'm sure he knew the story of Elijah. Actually, no, he wouldn't have. He would have been dead. Let me not speak out and say it wrong. This would have happened after his time. But the point is that he would have known what God did for him. Verse 9, all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. You know, there will be a time where all tongues and nations shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Revelation gives us that. Every tongue, every eye shall, Philippians 2 and verse 9. And I'm just going to go and read it because right now it is not coming to my mind here. But in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 9, it tells us that every knee shall bow of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Philippians chapter 2 verses 9 through 11. There'll be a time when everybody will come and worship God. Eventually. Verse 10, for thou art great, and dost wondrous things, thou art God alone. So he prays and asks for forgiveness. He's praying and wanting forgiveness for what he has done. Now, had David done things wrong? Sure. All of us do. Now, he's ready to be taught God's way. Verse 11. And secondly, we're going to be teaching his way. To have God teach us his ways, we need to be in right fellowship with him. Now let's learn the ways of God. 17 to the end of the chapter here. Verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord. He wants God, Jehovah God, to teach him the way. Why? Well, verse 11 continues, I will walk in thy truth. We should walk in his truth. We should be walking faithfully in what God's word has for us. 3 John 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. David wants to know the truth. This one of the ways that he wants to understand from God is that he will walk in his truth. Another way of God is to unite my heart, to fear my name. He wants unity. He wants the brethren to be unified and brought together. Verse 12, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. What's another way of God? To praise him. And notice how he says here in the psalm, with all my heart. Not partial. Everything, every part of your being, we ought to praise him. That's another way we can be taught his ways. And then verse 12 continues, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. I will give praise to him forever until the end. 13, for great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. What's he saying there? He's saying here that God has delivered us from the lowest of our conditions. Think of the lowest point in your life. You know God helped you through that? No matter what it is, God helped you through that point. Maybe you're there now. God will help you through that if you come to him. You could try to go away alone. I don't think it's going to succeed as well. But he was delivered from his lowest state. 14, O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and I have not set thee before him. He's looking around at his conditions. He said, hey, there's enemies coming about every side. How do I need to know your way? Well, Here's really God's way. We see some of that in verse 12 and 13, but really, to know God's way is really verse number 15. Let's look at it together. Verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God, first of all, full of compassion. God is a God of compassion. I mean, if you think about it, He saved us from the fiery clay. He saved us from our wretched sin. And because of that, we have hope. We have assurance that the day that we breathe our last breath here, we're going to go up and be there with Him. He's a God of compassion, full of compassion. Let's look at another way of God. Verse 15, and gracious. He's loving to all. Sometimes in our lives, there are people who we just question and wonder about when we should really be caring for them. Maybe their appearance on the outside doesn't look all appealing, or their mannerisms aren't the way we expect them. But you know what? He says to be gracious, to be loving, to be kind to all. And we ought to do that. Long-suffering. Long-suffering has the idea of being patient, being slow to anger. I'm not going to ask you the question to raise your hand, but if you've had a temper problem, that's not going to help. Be slow to anger. We ought to be patient people. But I'm not patient. You know you can learn that. You can develop that. I'll be a little personal. When I was a teenager, I was definitely not the patient person that some people think I am today. I could lose my temper at the drop of a hat. But one situation in my life helped me understand that this was a dumb idea to do, to just get quick-tempered. And I finally said, you know what? I can't do it. This is just not right. And then, again, I'm not trying to adulate myself, but some people have told me, you have the patience of a saint. First, I've never met a saint, but how would we know the patience anyway? But the point is that you can learn patience. You can learn and develop it. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long suffering, patience, goodness, faith. It's something that can be taught, can be developed. But I can't do it. I want you to notice what word you just said, I. You can't do it within yourself. But you know what? God can help you learn to be patient, to be long-suffering, to be slow to anger. So He's long-suffering. That is one of the ways of God. Verse 15 finishes off, and plenteous in mercy and truth. He's plenteous. Very gracious, very generous in truth and mercy. God's merciful. Very merciful to us. 16. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me, and give thy strength unto my servant, and save the son of mine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast holpen or helped me and comforted me. What's David asking? To show that he's faithful, he's going to protect those who trust in him, and he's going to help and to be comforted. 1 Thessalians 4:18 says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now the context in that aspect is the idea of the rapture. But we can be comforted with the word of God. We can be comforted with what God has for us. So we want to know God's ways. Verse 11 says, teach me my way, O Lord. How do we learn God's ways? Well, it's right in the psalm. To walk in His truth. To unite my heart. To be full of compassion. Gracious. Long-suffering. Plenteous in mercy and truth. Praising Him, glorifying His name. It's all in the psalm. We want to learn how to be the way of God. as we conclude here, God's ways should be our ways. You remember years ago when the fad was going on, when you had these WWJD bracelets coming out? I remember them in the late 90s. That's when I kind of remember seeing these things pop out. So I would have been about 10, 11, 12 around that point. It was in elementary school. I remember that. Elementary into middle. And people were wearing these WWJD bracelets. What would Jesus do? Bracelets. Now, some people would just wear it just because it looks pretty cool and it was the fashion trend of the day. But if you really think about it, what would Jesus do? That's really what we see here when we see teaching me thy way, O Lord. What would God want us to do? It's right in the Psalm. We want to know the ways and the mind of God. And we see here in the Psalm what his ways are, especially in verse 11, in verse 15, and verse 12. May we be taught in the ways of God. We want to know God's way. You want to know how to be like Christ. Christian means Christ-like. Try in the Psalm. And we can know that and we can live that out this evening and the days going forward. Father, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for the day you've given to us. We thank you for the opportunity that we have. And I pray that you just help us this evening as we consider just the things that we taught, that we've heard, that we've seen in your word this evening. Father, teach us your way. Help us to know your way. Father, there are days that we think we know your way and then we stumble. Help us to know your way. Help us to be like you. Help us to be Christ-like. Refine us. Help us and see your way as perfect. Because you care for us. Because we are yours, O Lord. And we know that we serve a mighty God. Because we know and understand your ways. The invitation is simple. Two things. Number one, God spoke into your heart. And you need this time to pray. As we finish the prayer, we're just going to stand. We'll have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The music will play softly. And you take that time and you pray. Or number two, you want someone to pray with you. You want an accountability partner. You want someone to pray. Maybe there's someone here who needs to know your ways and that they want to be able to learn your ways, to learn them better. That invitation is also for you too. And even for the preacher up here. Father, I pray you just bless the movement this time and this invitation. Speak to our hearts as we act upon what's been given this evening. We ask these things in Jesus' name.